Welcome to this Project Cargo Weekly interview, and our special guest of honor today is Mr. Justin Facey, the CEO of Kensa Logistics in Mexico City, Mexico. And it's a pleasure to have you here. Welcome, Justin.
Thank you, Bo. Yeah, it's great to be here.
As you might know, and definitely our my viewers know, I always let the accused or the interviewee give us a little rundown on his or her career until now and until the current position. So how come you ended up where you are, Justin?
Well, it's a long story, but I'll try and make it short. Okay, when I finished university, I decided to go to Spain and learn Spanish. And that was originally going to be a 3-month vacation. It turned out to be 6 years, but it wasn't a vacation. I ended up working, finding a job and working first in shipping. I started off working for Evergreen in Spain. And the same group of companies, because they're represented by a larger holding, they asked me to move into the logistics division. So I started off there with them. And after a short couple of years working for them, they then asked me to come to Mexico to open their first office overseas. So I came over to Mexico. I'd never been to the Americas. I'd been to many parts of the world, but never to the Americas. And so I decided, well, this is a challenge for sure. Sounds like fun. I bought my Mexican Spanish dictionary just to make sure the words were all the same. And and off I came. So I opened up the office with basically $20,000 and the legal paperwork, and that was it. And ended up opening 14 offices in Mexico with 5 companies. I also opened up different offices in Central America and the Caribbean for the same shareholders. And 3 years ago, I decided that it was time for a bit of a change, time for something a little bit smaller, a little bit more controllable, because this other setup was getting pretty big. It was like 500 people in the area, so that's a lot of people to look after. And I actually prefer the personal touch to logistics, being a little bit more focused. And Project Cargo definitely requires that, and many other clients, especially the clients which we look after today, they very much prefer the personal touch. So that is our focus right now on everything we do, having the right people to look after all of our clients and give it that personal focus.
Okay. I mean, just for my benefit and also the viewers, what nationality are you actually?
I'm actually English myself, but I've traveled around quite a bit. My father was he got me into this, really. He went to sea at the age of 16, and he was working out in the Far East on a company called Blue Funnel Shipping. They of course don't exist anymore, but that's where he got his sea legs, and he got me into this. But I lived in Hong Kong, in Dubai, in Yemen, many different interesting parts of the world. Not all of them I would go back to. Some I would love to go back to. And some have changed a lot. So times change. But that's how I got into shipping originally.
Okay. Yeah, then we share the similar background. I also got into this because of my dad. He was a sea captain, and I wanted to be a journalist, which I have now in later years or later kilos become, finally. Yeah. But it was shipping from the beginning. Yeah. But tell me a little bit about, you're sitting in quite a big and important country in the Americas, Mexico. You have a Caribbean coast or Gulf coast. You have a Pacific coast. What would you say about your organization in Mexico if we focus on Kensa Logistics there? Outline your organization, how it's built up.
Yeah, well, we have certain areas of specialization. We're very focused on automotive, on customs, on project cargo, energy, A lot of them are related. Project Cargo with automotive, of course, you're bringing production lines, you're doing chartering aircraft. So we have these different areas of specialization, but we all work very solidly as a team together, sharing experiences and sharing our client base between ourselves to make sure that we are looking after the 360 degrees of whatever a client may require. Mm-hmm. So we have our operations team, we have our pricing team, we have our network team, we have our project team, etc. But it's all very organized and controlled and totally with a client focus, service focus on looking after our clients, right? Mm-hmm. We have a strong focus on customs, which is quite an item in Mexico. Mm-hmm. It is in several other countries in the area as well, but it's Mexico's. Oh, yeah. is especially complicated in that sense. So we integrate that as a core part of our service to the clients. But Mexico is slightly different to other countries because most of the industries are in inland; they're not on mm-hmm. the coast.
Right.
So you look at countries around the world, and most industries are more coastal based. Yeah. For obvious logistical reasons, Mexico is a little bit different. Of course, we have the east and the west coast, and they're very close to each other, or relatively close to each other. So it's not cheap, but it's relatively close to move cargo to the east or the west coast. So that would probably explain that the reason why most industries are more central inland in Mexico. Mm-hmm. And so we, at the same time, are also central. We're in Mexico City, we're in Querétaro, we're opening shortly in Monterrey, and these are all inland destinations. It's pretty much how we've always done business. I've been doing this now for some 25 years in the area. Yeah. So it works.
Okay. Tell me the ports. I know I can say a few from memory: Veracruz, Tampico. I can also say some holiday spots, but that's not really ports. But if you should...
We know those two.
Yeah, exactly. Cancun, for example. Acapulco.
Yeah, just one of many. Yeah.
Yeah. If you should mention the, let's say, commercial ports mainly used, let's say, for Project Cargo, which we are focusing mm-hmm. on here, which one would you highlight on the East and the West Coast?
On the East Coast, you have Altamira, mm-hmm. Altamira and Tampico. Those are two ports which are very close to each other, right. and they both have a fairly large project cargo focus. Mm-hmm. And then you also have some smaller ports such as Tuxpan.
Oh yeah,
we've done a fair amount of business there. It's not so common for the regular container vessels, so not so many people have heard about it, but we do a fair amount of project cargo there, and of course we have the oil and gas industry, which is they're building a refinery not so far from there, so we use Tuxpan for that. And then you go further south down to Ciudad del Carmen and those areas. Again, this is a large oil and gas area in Mexico. So you again have a lot of project cargo there. And in actual fact, there's very little container or, if at all, container use in that part of Mexico.
Right. Right. So is the country, given your relation, let's say not relationship with the States, I should mean geographical mm-hmm. location sure. between Central America and North America, you were quite strategic there. The biggest trade, of course, is with the US, I suppose.
Definitely. Yes. Yeah. It's huge. I mean, it's 80% of trade is with the US. Mm. So you can imagine it's just, off any other kind of comparisons to other countries anywhere in the world.
Okay.
But it's changing. Mexico is definitely trying to look more to other parts of the world to do trade with. It has a huge amount of free trade agreements. It's one of the countries with the most amount of signed free trade agreements or preferential trade agreements. And Mexico is definitely looking to build up more and more business with other parts of the world. And then you also have this recent phenomenon, and especially with the way container freight rates are going right now, that a lot of industries are trying to move business back to Mexico. They moved away maybe 10, 15 years ago, and now with the way things are going, and also it's I think it's been a phenomenon now, not just this year, but over the past few years, for manufacturers to move production back to or closer to the centers of where the clientele base is, really. So you have this huge consumer market in the US and also other areas close to Mexico. And so there's a lot of production being moved back to Mexico. And subsequently, you have not just your regular containers, but also a lot of production lines being moved here.
And of course, let's say that the trend to China is being reversed back from China or Vietnam, as the case may be. Do you see a lot of Chinese investment in Mexico? Do
Yes.
they? Yeah, I could imagine
Yeah.
they are everywhere.
They're one of the first. I read a report not so long ago, some 6, 8 months ago. It said that over 50% of the new rentals and land purchases in certain industrial areas, especially in the north of Mexico, are being done by Chinese companies. So they're one of the major clients of Mexico right now, most definitely. And this of course helps Mexico, and it helps them because they avoid certain tax and duty restrictions in the US through this.
Okay, so that means you are part NAFTA, you are part of the NAFTA, this North, what was the abbreviation
Yes,
stands
well,
for?
it used to be NAFTA. That was recently renegotiated. It's now in Mexico, they call it the TLS CAN. It's like the US Canada Mexico free trade agreement. But it used to be called the North American Free Trade Agreement, but it's
Yes,
yeah, it's
okay.
basically the same thing. There are a few modifications on specifications of technical items for customs, where you have to produce more in the area to give it that certificate of origin from this part of the world. So they're looking to increase local production in Mexico and the US and Canada to be able to give it that preferential origin.
Your setup, you mentioned customs is an issue, and in a few words, how would you characterize? There are many freight forwarders in Mexico, I have no doubt, and I'm sure you compete on a daily basis. What makes you the ideal choice for one of my viewers sitting here with a big project to or from Mexico to contact you? How would you sell yourself in a heartbeat?
Experience, focus, dedication. I mean, they're all words that very much align with my philosophy on life and my philosophy on business, and it's something that I value very highly of everybody who forms part of Kensa. It's I want somebody who is going to be dedicated and willing to go that extra mile to look after the clients and make sure that we're one step ahead of the problems on the horizon. Because logistics is all about sorting out hiccups and problems along the way and planning things to avoid these wherever possible, right? So yeah, it's having the experience and the dedication, and a big enough team to be able to provide that support when it's required. But at the same time, small enough to be able to adapt to the requirements. I mean, at a phone call, we're just a phone call away, and we will go that extra mile pretty much 24 hours a day.
Let's say personalized service, you have not become so big that many of these big companies, you try and call their customer service unit, it's impossible to talk to any physical person nowadays,
No, no, and especially now with this whole COVID matter carrying on, it's we've had a lot of our very important, well-known clients phone us up and say, "Really, you guys you're just incredible. I mean, how come you're giving this level of service even during these pandemic times? We haven't stopped, and we've taken obviously our precautions. We've been very careful to look after our team members, but we're still very focused and very integrated in providing that service which clients require. I mean, it's gone very well for us over the past 18 months for sure.
Good to hear. Do you face the similar problems as on most other trade lanes, with ships being fully booked chock-a-block on almost every trade lane known to man? Impossible to get containers. Even you pay a premium, you still cannot be sure that the ship owner will take it. Is that the same in Mexico currently?
Most definitely, yes. I think you have the extreme case in the United States for sure. I've heard some nightmare stories from colleagues in that part of the world. Mexico is not far from those kinds of tragedies with the shipping lines right now. It really is a case of first come, first served, but above all, who's willing to pay the most. And even when you do pay ridiculous amounts of money, or what may seem today like ridiculous amounts of money, it doesn't guarantee you're going to get that space. So it's all a down again to that going the extra mile, looking for that extra container, that extra slot on the vessel, and having the relationships. And experience in 25 years in Mexico, 30 years in the business has given us a lot of good contacts there. And you know this yourself very well. If you don't have the contacts, then nobody's going to help you out when you have a problem.
No, definitely. It's a people's business. And keeping the network alive also when you don't have a problem. It's not enough only to call when you do have a problem, right?
Exactly.
Are you a member currently of any networks out there?
Well, we're a member of Cross Ocean, as you know, together with CLC, and we've really valued that professional focus that all the members have, and we don't like to be members of some of these bigger associations because you lose that personal touch, that focus, and we prefer to be dedicated to the person in front of us, and not just shopping around and looking for 20 agents in different countries. It's not our style. It never has been in my personal style. I very much value having one solid good relation and one solid good network to be a part of.
Okay, that's really good to hear. Another practical question that comes to mind. Now we spoke about the north of Mexico. To the south, there are several, shall we say, smaller countries that are, at least here in Europe or maybe in Asia, they're not often in the news. Trade between Mexico and these, let's say, Central American states, is that all done by truck, or is there any, shall we say, sea freight service or project cargo between these countries at all? Or?
Most definitely, yes. Okay. We actually do a fair amount of project cargo in that part of the world, Nicaragua, Guatemala, what have you. It's we have no boundaries as to how far we can go in this part of the world. And through our experience over the past many years, we have some very solid relationships and options to be able to provide project cargo service and in that part of the world as well, both by sea freight and by truck. I mean, we've moved project cargo from the US all the way down to Nicaragua. So it's not a problem to do it. It can be done. You just have to know the right people, that's for sure, and you have to know all the ins and outs of the customs on the different borders. Central America is actually quite integrated in that sense. It's not that difficult, but you still have to know how to do it, of course. And then there are other items which, of course, you can't move by truck, and that's just not feasible. And there we're into the chartering vessels where we're required, and we've done quite a bit of that recently. Okay. And going from Mexico down to Central America, from even from the US down to Central America, we handle projects in Mexico. Or we coordinate them from Mexico because of our specialization in Mexico and Central America. And so we have clients which actually use us to do their project cargo in Central America from them, for them, even though they may be based in the US.
Okay, that's so basically you have not only a huge market where you're sitting, but with the customer service and being like a bridgehead, you can cover both the north and let's say south of you and be the link between the two areas, I
Yes,
suppose.
exactly. Yeah.
Okay. One of my final questions is more of a, let's say, a practical nature. When I was younger, as my wife says, many kilos ago, there was a shipping line called TMM,
Yes. Yes.
Transportation something Mexicanos. Do they still exist? Is there any shipping line, let's say, with Mexican routes nowadays?
TMM is still exists as a group, but they
Okay.
don't exist as a shipping line. TMM was bought up by originally by CP Ships, which also no longer exists,
Right.
and then was bought up by Hapag. Okay, at
Correct,
some
yeah.
stage, and that's where it is today. So Hapag is still, I mean, today Hapag is basically ex-TMM employees,
Right.
to a large extent, and they are still one of the major players in Mexico under the Hapag name. So yeah, you still have TMM, but it's not called TMM anymore,
Right,
basically.
okay.
They still operate certain terminals. They have some logistics operations for car movers, for example. So they still exist as a group, but they don't have a shipping line anymore
Okay.
as they did. That's quite a while ago. That's some
Yeah,
20 years
exactly.
now.
Yeah, as I said, it's at least 20 kilos ago for
No.
me.
Yeah.
So,
You're starting to make me feel old now.
yeah, but you know the drill. But listen, Justin, this been it's been very, very interesting because, frankly, to say, I was in Mexico when was 1967 in Coatzacoalcos and Tampico,
Okay.
but I was only 4 years old or 5 years old on board a ship chartered to K Line with my dad. So
Wonderful.
we have some
Okay. Yeah.
pictures and we were
I'm
sailing
sure.
across the Pacific. But
Yeah.
in recent years, I should pay your country a visit as soon as this bloody COVID is out of the way. How is, speaking of that, just to use 1 minute on that, how is COVID right now? Do you have all the vaccines you can get hold
Well,
of?
we have pretty much one of every vaccine, I think. It's one of we have the Chinese vaccines, we have the Russian vaccines, but we also have the Pfizer, the AstraZeneca. We have pretty much everything here.
Okay.
So it's a big country and a lot of people to be vaccinated.
Okay.
We're going through those pains of getting everybody vaccinated for sure. I myself have already managed to get my vaccine in Mexico. I'm not
Okay.
one of the fortunate ones who traveled to the US to get it, and a lot of those as well. But yes, I mean, as many countries, we're going through those pains still. It's definitely not over. But Mexico never shut its borders. That's one of the
Okay.
curious things
Wow.
about Mexico. There's still flights in and out. There's still people coming and going. So to come to Mexico is not a problem. But I know through personal experience, and my father came to visit me not so long ago, when he flew back to the UK. He spent about 3 days filling out forms online just to be able to travel back. So it's not a problem coming here, but you want to check the restrictions when you go back, that's for sure.
That's exactly the thing. The very final question I have, and of course it's not really shipping related, but you know, most of the time, or not most of the time, sometimes when you hear about Mexico in the news, there's always something about drugs and the drugs trade. But may I just ask, as a normal non-Mexican resident, as a person who hasn't been there for hundreds of years almost, is that something that you feel in the everyday? I mean, it gets a lot of publicity here, let's say outside Mexico maybe, but do you see that or feel that in your everyday world, so to speak, there?
It's a problem, definitely. I mean, drugs are something that does affect the day-to-day life of many people. But fortunately, it's more between the different drug traffickers. That's where you have the problem between the military and drug traffickers. It doesn't generally affect the general public. Okay, so fortunately, that does not affect us so much in a day-to-day kind of business. But in logistics, that's a different matter because, of course, they use us sometimes, or they try to use us to move cargo around. So we have to be very careful. We have to double check on who our clients are, We go through a lot of paperwork just to make sure we're not dealing with the wrong people at the wrong time, because we don't want to be involved in that. So we're especially careful in that sense. And it is something which affects a lot of people in Mexico. But fortunately, it doesn't really affect business. There's still a lot of people coming here, still a lot of people doing business, and that's going to carry on. The things don't mix, but fortunately, they don't affect each other as much as the news might make out sometimes.
Okay, yeah, but of course, that we know from the media, bad news sell more newspapers than good news.
Unfortunately.
Exactly how it is,
But it's the same worldwide, so... Yeah,
definitely. But I can say for Project Cargo Weekly, this interview has certainly been good news. So this is no bad news, and no matter what we portrayed as
there's a lot of Project Cargo in Mexico. That's for sure.
It's the right time that I interviewed you. I want to say formally to you, Justin, thank you very much for joining this interview.
Thank you, Bo. It's been a pleasure as always, and look forward to being in contact with you very shortly.
You are most welcome. And to all our viewers, listeners, readers around the world, this has been an exclusive interview with Mr. Justin Facey, the CEO of Kensa Logistics in Mexico. Most interesting gentleman to listen to, and also to learn about a most interesting country strategically located in the Americas. Thank you very much for watching this, and stay tuned for more interviews in the near future. Thank you.